If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love, light, and sound of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is More Experiences with the Ashtar Galactic Command, and how the ground crew is prepared and trained for their Earth missions. So if you're ready, take a deep breath. And call yourself forward in your radiant, divine light forms. Allow them to merge with your physical personality. Let them blend and homogenize themselves into one inseparable unit. So that you no longer think of yourself as there and here, but that you bring everything here and now, present. In the highest rate and degree that would be appropriate for your highest good at this point in your life and your spiritual unfoldment. Take another deep breath and ask that whatever could be cleared from you that you don't have to carry any longer, that it be lifted to grace. And now receive with your next breath that which you've asked for. Just consecrate your life, if you choose, if you wish, that this arises with a sense of what you need to do right now. Consecrate yourself, that your life could be utilized as a blessing for everyone and everything that you interact with. That your life could be wrapped in diamonds and flowers, wafting the fragrance of your immaculate, pure heart. And your heart, beloved, beloveds, my brothers and sisters, is truly immaculate and pure. So don't ever identify with anything less than that. So I want to speak to you tonight about your Earth missions and other things. But first of all, I want you to understand that as the Earth moves through this transformation that we're currently undergoing, that is seeming to put so many people rocking and rolling in their personal human lives. But no, even though the boat seems to be rocking wildly in the currents of these cosmic energies that are impacting us, that the outcome is assured and is glorious and is beautiful and is so worth everything that we have to go through. That just do what you have to do to get through the day and keep psyched up and enthusiastic, because you are headed to something that is so splendid. You're going to thank the day that you were chosen and allowed to take birth at this point in history on this little planet. So, each one of you actively serving in the Ashtar Command mission has been spiritually encoded. Your mission is literally inscribed within your soul essence. It is who you are. It is what you are. It is what motivates and drives you to do whatever it is you're doing. And before you fully awaken to it, it's like something that won't leave you alone. You sense that you have a purpose. You sense you have something that you're to do, but you can't quite remember what it is. You feel restless. You feel homesick. You don't know what it is you're homesick for. But you know that wherever it is and whatever it is, it doesn't seem to be on this earth yet. Why? Because you're part of the process of bringing it onto the earth. So each one of you was vetted and thoroughly tested before you were even born, in many cases. Even if you were a walk-in or a future self-integration, both of which I happen to be, still, that was written into the script as a possibility. Because once you get down here, you have every right in the world to say, no, I don't want to do it. But really, you won't allow yourself to do that in most cases, because life becomes untenable when you don't heed the voice of your own being, your own knowing, your own soul's imprint. So in a way, it's a destiny that has been preordained and pre-choreographed, but you do have some wiggle room. You can go along the path A, B, or C, but that's about it. You have some electives here. But the die has been cast, more or less, as to what you will do with your life. You are here to serve. You are here to bring a higher divine awareness through your physical instrument that expresses as loving goodwill and a sense of the oneness of all life. Every one of you have that strong imprint. Now, my activation, as I told you, I got involved in this work in the early 20s. But well, around about the time that the human potential movement was starting to move across the planet, I was contacted for a new area in my mission. And this happens also. From time to time, you get upgrades in your mission, or you complete one aspect of it and you're advanced to another one. And that's what happened to me. I started traveling and doing activational workshops throughout the power grid points on the planet for the Ashtar Command, which started in about 1988, around the time of the harmonic convergence, all the way through 2007 when I started doing this radio show full time. So the first thing that happened was that many of us were taken aboard ship at that time and encoded with what we were to do next, which according to Jose Aguelis from the Mayan Factor, the one who actually called us to celebrate the harmonic convergence back in 1987, that we are the rainbow warriors who have come to dance the dream awake. And that vision really caught fire with me and many of you. Many of us of, let's say, the first wave or the first group of activational light workers to move across the planet, many of us caught that vision and began doing whatever it was we were doing. Many of us went into channeling because that was the thing that people were doing then. And many of us started doing workshops. So one of the things that happened to me, I was taken aboard ship in the Ashtar Command, and something called the I-Corps codes, which is mentioned in the glossary of the Keys of Enoch by Dr. J.J. Hertak, if you're interested, the I-Corps codes were activated. Now, this was a tad scary because I was aboard ship, and there was something that was injected, a crystalline substance was injected into my crown chakra at the top of my head. And when I asked later what it was, I was told it went into the cerebral spinal fluid and carried specific encodements for the Christing of the body. You might call it the resurrection codes, the Christing codes, that which makes of you more than a human, but a superhuman. And it was injected into the top of my head. There was no pain at all. But that's what happened. The next thing that happened was I was visited by a man who appeared on my doorstep and said he was light traveler that had been sent from the Ascended Master Seraphis Bey to give me the manuscript for Tony Stubbs' book, The Ascension Manual. I was told I was a walk-in. I was told that I was to teach ascension. The next thing that happened, I was working with a marvelous being, another man, and we were traveling and working throughout the, you know, all the places, Chaco Canyon and the Owl Needle in Maui, and traveling to all the power grids and sacred spots that we could find in the American Southwest and Hawaii, throughout the United States. Saint Germain appeared to my coworker and told him to tell me to go to Mount Shasta. Now, why didn't he tell me? Because I would probably think it was my imagination. Sometimes I like the information to be given through someone else that is trained to receive, but who will deliver the information without coloring it in any way, so that I will know that it's actually for me. And that's what happened. I was told to go to Mount Shasta for a meeting, and that I would be taken inside the sanctuary of Telos for this meeting. Okay. I drive up to Mount Shasta. I was living in Los Angeles, as I still am. I went to about 10, 11,000 feet on the mountain. I think Mount Shasta is about 14,000 feet. And I spread my blanket under the tree where I was guided to sit. And I lay down and obviously fell asleep. Because as I told you in the last show, we're always taken in our etheric bodies, not the physical body. Why? The physical body is too dense. Very few physical bodies could stand the vibration that you have to move into to go into Telos, to go aboard ship, to have an interaction with a higher advanced being. My physical body vibrates at a very high rate, but even it is too dense for that. So we're always taken in etheric physical bodies. As I explained last week, there are seven dimensions or planes to the physical. You have the physical, earthly, liquid and gaseous, which are visible. And then you have four subplanes, higher dimensional planes of the physical. And that's where we're moving into as we advance through this process, which many have called the ascension. We're actually moving from a dense physical body into an etheric body, which is still physical, still everything looking the same, better, I would say, not exactly the same, because you won't have the same ailments and so forth. But we're talking a human body here. And that's what we are gradually moving into. And all of us are very, very much in our light bodies now, believe it or not. We're progressing just fine. You just don't notice the difference because everybody is moving into those higher levels together. So I was taken into the mountain in my subtle body, my etheric physical body, and I recognized all of the masters and way showers with whom I work were present at that gathering. John Roger was there, Sai Baba was there, Yogananda was there, Saint Germain was there, Ashtar, all of the people that most of us work with and love very much. also the Master Jesus. And then the details were blocked from my mind, but I do remember being there and seeing the gathering and those that were present. Then I get in my car and I drive back to Los Angeles on Route 101, which goes along the Pacific Coast Highway. It's very beautiful. That's why I usually like to take that route. But coming back down from Mount Shasta, which is about, maybe 7, 8, 9 hours from Los Angeles, I was coming to a very beautiful area called Apple Valley. And suddenly I became so sleepy I had to pull off the side of the road, which I did, and managed to park under some trees before my whole body turned into a star field of light. And my hands, I watched them dematerialize into sparkling light, and I was beamed directly up into a scout ship where I was face to face with Lord Ashtar. To say that that was ecstatic would be a gross understatement. It filled me with such joy that I understood the meaning of the word rapture. When they say we're going to be raptured and caught up to be with the Lord, wow, that's what I experienced. It was incredible bliss. Of course, I adore Ashtar, so that was blissful too. But he was very much to the point, as he is, and he told me that I was to teach a very specific synthesis of the wisdom teachings on the planet. I was to talk about the Avatar, Sai Baba. I was to talk about the advent of the Lord Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom. I was to talk about the ground crew and those of you who are here on Earth assignment. I was to activate and decode you. I was to write. I was to teach. I was to speak. I was to travel. I was to work with the Christ Consciousness Grid. This is 1991 that this happened to me. And I was told also to share the esoteric teachings, all of which I have in my background, so that you'll have a clear understanding that all of the planetary and celestial lords of light work as one. They're one huge operation that works as one body to ascend and advance and evolute, if you will, the souls on any existing orb. And at this time, it's the planet Earth. So after that occurred, I was beamed back in my body where I watched my hands turn from starry energy hands back to holding my steering wheel. So for me, it felt like I was physically beamed up in the ship. But at any rate, the body that I have was turned into a field of light, sparkling, and immediately beamed aboard ship. I came back, I was filled with such joy. I remember singing bhajans, divine devotional songs in Sanskrit, all the way home. I was filled with bliss. So that's how I started doing this most recent aspect of my mission, which began on 11/11 in November of 1991. So, where to start? I have a lot I want to share with you. The planet Earth is the youngest and least spiritually developed planet in our solar system. And no planet that's still spiritually immature is given advanced technology. What is considered spiritually immature? A spiritually immature planet still utilizes warfare to deal with conflict. A spiritually immature human being still uses fighting and argumentation to deal with conflict. So if you want to man and woman up spiritually and step into a more mature presentation, it's important that you learn how to peacefully live and how to resolve any kind of interpersonal disharmony in a harmonious way. That is the single most important thing that you can do, is to begin to monitor reactiveness. They trained me one way, which was funny. You know, I would get up in the morning, not quite in my body, and make coffee. And I'm sure all of you have had the experience of where you miss the coffee thing, whatever, and the water and the coffee grounds and everything spills all over you, down into your cupboards, on the floor, everything, right? Or whatever it is. It could be anything. And instead of, you know, yelling a rude expletive and getting angry, which most of us do in the beginning, I was taught to have no reaction at all. None. No reaction in my astral body, but simply to clean that mess up. And they did that with many little irritating situations that would normally cause you to react in a negative way. And I was trained to not react. Also, when I saw things that were awful or, you know, that would normally cause a reaction or a judgment or a knee-jerk retort, I was taught to hold my peace and stay quiet. I didn't have to lend energy to that at all. I didn't have to have a comment or an opinion or an attitude. I was learned to keep my mind like a pellucid, clear pool through which the divine consciousness could be reflected in my mental body and in my emotional body. That was one of the most important trainings that I received. Also, I was trained to really curtail the slightest irritation. It's impossible to receive telepathic communication clearly when the mind is in a turmoil and the emotions are in a turmoil. You have to be very centered and still so that that higher consciousness doesn't bounce off or deflect off of your aura, but can integrate harmoniously. And especially those of us like myself that have a vocal mission. I have to speak. I have to communicate. And I have to be very, very clear to be utilized as an instrument of communication. And that applies to any one of you out there that is doing that. So we have to train to be non-reactive and to curtail any, I would say, ego-driven impetus to react in a harmful way. That's the number one training. Stay centered, stay calm, and stay serene. So, no planet that's still immature, that still resorts to warfare, that still has a population that's that tends to be violent, is given the higher technology. So, the next planet that is close to the Earth in evolution, I would say at the same level, more or less, is Mars. But it doesn't have that bad karma. It didn't fall like the people of Earth did during the Atlantean times. And because it didn't come into a fallen state, it doesn't have the same negative karma. It has less karma. And therefore, it has a higher developed technology. Now, there are other planets like Jupiter and Saturn and Venus and Neptune that are called sacred planets. These are planets that have already become one with their soul essence. And they stand at the like a third degree initiate in terms of the planets. And remember, every planet is the incarnation of a great being. So Earth has still got a ways to go before it moves through that third degree of initiation and becomes a sacred planet. And that's part of what you and I, as initiates, are doing on the planet. We are helping the Earth to go through that higher degree of initiation, which will marriage her with her soul. And in that case, it would be Venus. So all solar systems have 12 planets, but not all the planets in any given system are visible. Why? Because they only become visible when they incarnate, and they are invisible, although still present, when they're out of incarnation. And every celestial orb is the manifestation of a planetary logos. Our planetary logos is the Venusian Sanat Kumara. And recently, NASA has been speaking about orphan planets that seem to not have a sun around which they revolve. They are revolving around a sun, but their sun has gone into a higher state called the etheric. So like, you know, like us moving into the etheric body, the sun has moved in that case into the etheric, and the other planets are perhaps not in that lower vibration where they're visible. So there are no orphan planets. Every solar system has 12 planets. The awakened initiates on any planet or nation embody the soul quality of that particular planet or nation. And the masses embody the personality or the ego presentation of that planet or nation. Every planet and every nation is like a school of consciousness, and we pass through all of these in our soul journey. We go to every planetary school, and they become a learning environment for the expansion of our awareness and the perfecting of our creative intelligence, because we're here to become co-workers and co-creators in the divine and with the divine. So negativity always self-destructs, invariably. Why? Because it has no inherent life. Life is God, and God is love. And God is also light, formless light, formless love, until we give the love and light of God a tangible form. So we are tributaries of divine light and love to present into time and space. Light and love are of the same frequency. So when love or light enter a negative energy field, it is dissolved just like shadows in a room that vanish when the light is turned on. So you don't have to ever deal with negativity. You just need to up the light. Just turn on the light. That's all. That's why Jesus said in the Bible, resist not evil. Or, resist the devil, and he will flee. So there's two meanings in that. Number one, don't lend the energy of polarity to evil. When you resist it, you cause attraction automatically, because attraction and resistance, or resistance and repulsion, are two sides of the same coin. When it says resist the devil, and he will flee. The only devil you ever have to resist is your own ego-tainted mind. So you have to resist and come against the tendency to believe that you're separate from God and separate from your brothers and sisters. We are one life, one united organism, and everything you say, think, and do affects the whole. And it's important to bear that in mind. So negativity always self-destructs. because it has no inherent life to sustain it. To have life, it has to have an eternal principle with a capital P that ensouls it and fuels it. Negativity is not a principle. It's simply a false appearance, appearing real, but not real at all. So the new world we are moving into will be off the electrical grid. And that's going to be an amazing thing because we've become already accustomed to all sorts of technology. We've been accustomed to a commercial system that utilizes money. But money was a bad idea from the get-go. And we will, as we move into this higher state, this new paradigm, we won't use money at all. It will be seen as obsolete. The way we fuel things today will be seen as obsolete. We'll begin to understand that everything that exists is consciousness and energy. And that we can move at will within to different states of our own sense of self and experience different states of being. The free energy that's coming in that I spoke about briefly last week as the technology of light comes in as all things do on a grid. One of the ways that we in the Ashtar Command have been implementing and anchoring that grid is through crop circles. They serve many, many purposes. Number one, they let you know that there's something that is benign that's making them. Obviously, after all these decades, they're not harmful. Obviously, they come from extraterrestrials because countless people have seen spaceships, orbs of light, making the circles within seconds. Yes, there are a few of them that are hoaxed, about 4% or less. The rest of them are authentic, impossible to duplicate by any human means. Now, generally, they're made by people from Mars and people from Venus. The very geometric kind of masculine designs are made by Martians, the more technological designs. The more beautiful, lyrical designs, like the Julia set, for example, of all the multiple little swirls of circles, those are made by the Venusians. They're like letters from home. They increase the magnetic field and the crops that aren't just enhanced in that area, but they go out through a collective grid. Now, not only are they appearing where you can see them in cereal crops, they're also appearing throughout the world on every type of terrain, on the oceans, on the waterways, on the mountains, in the snows. They had a beautiful one I posted on Facebook that was up in, somewhere where there's no habitation. I forget now exactly where, but no human habitation for miles. And here's this beautiful crop circle that was discovered by someone who was flying over the area. Very intricate, probably a Venusian one, very beautiful. Kind of looked like a many-petaled flower, like a chrysanthemum. Very, very beautiful. And so it's occurring on all kinds of terrain, whether or not you can see it, and that is the grid through which the technology of light will flow. Now, I understand there's a place in Russia that's already using a form of this technology of light. I see a form because literally its application and its manifestations are without limit. But I understand there's been an extraterrestrial base there for about 15, 20 years, and they have been using this technology of light. Now, this will supply energy for everything. There will be little containers for individual home usage and also larger containers for industrial purposes. But the energy will be totally clean and totally free. And it will be from the sun interacting with the electromagnetic field of the Earth itself, the Earth energy itself. So it's the sun and the Earth coming together that form this free energy. Number two, you're going to see the equalization of the world's resources. Already the Pope is calling for this. What does that mean? It means the equitable and just utilization of the planetary resources. So they're not co-opted by only a small percentage of the nations, whereas the rest of them live like, they live less well than most of the pets in the United States, let's put it that way. So that's not going to happen anymore. There will ultimately be free education, free housing, free food, free medical care. Did I miss anything? Medical care, food, shelter. I think I hit it all. And this is going to be what will bring us together truly as a family of light. Because right now, the major cause of war is the inequality and unjust way that a small number of people control the power and the wealth on the planet. So these two things are big, big concerns for the Ashtar Command. And while we can't actually land and tell you what to do with your planet, we can telepathically inspire people who are in those fields, people who are in those areas of human endeavor. And many of our ground crew are working in those particular areas, too, of free energy and other areas that we're speaking about here. Also, you will no longer have you will no longer have centralized government anywhere. Instead, you will have regional governing councils consisting of the wisest men and women in any given area, like we do on our planets. There won't be any more authoritarian figures in politics or religion. As you understand that everything is coming from one divine source, has divine love and light and sound, and that it's governed and given shape by the consciousness and the intention behind that consciousness, that's what causes the precipitation or the manifestation of whatever that is. So once we understand that, we're not going to have somebody that's going to stand up and tell us what we have to believe or what side we have to align ourselves with in politics. These will be seen as part of that old paradigm that's gradually fading away to be replaced by something so much better. We're going to see a complete change in priorities, the major one being the shift from defense to sharing the planet as one family. Now, many people, I don't know how many, but there will be those who will have to be shifted to an alternate Earth who will be, for whatever reason, unable to make that shift into this higher state of consciousness. Maybe they just like war. Maybe they haven't had enough experiences in duality. So they will be accommodated. But for the rest of us that are ready to make that shift, and those of us like you and me who are part of the ground crew here to facilitate and implement that shift, we're good to go. So can you imagine communicating so fully and deeply and intimately with each other that you no longer need your smartphones and your computers and your other forms of technological gadgetry? Every time you replace a natural God-given function and ability with technology, you come out on the short end. That's why advanced beings from Sirius in the forms of dolphins and whales came in their forms within the oceans, so they did not have to get involved in the technology, although their consciousness is equal to, and in many cases, far in advance of the average human being. No, they're not marine fish. No, they are highly evolved extraterrestrial consciousnesses. So I want to describe a little bit of how we form our bases. We have bases underwater. We have bases underground. We have bases in the mountains. What we do is compress the molecules, which solidifies the elements. If it's earth that's being solidified, the elements are solidified into a glassy, smooth surface. It's not glass, but it forms almost a glass-like surface. Kind of like Corningware inside areas that we want to make a tunnel. Not as dense as Corningware, but you get the idea. Now, if it's water that the molecules are being compressed with, underwater bases, the water becomes solidified so that it appears to be like a crystal wall. Very beautiful. It's done almost instantly. Also, we can open the ground so that it appears just like it was unzipped, and the ships or people can enter and exit at will. This can happen at any place. It doesn't have to have a specific area where that takes place. Also, the spacecraft can enter and leave through seeming mountains and earth that seem to be solid, because again, through molecular shifting and modulation. And that's why they can often be seen disappearing in and out of mountains. We watch them all the time, coming and going in Mount Shasta when we lived there. And also into the sea, like right here in Los Angeles, right off our coast, many, many spaceships have been seen entering and exiting the ocean because we have a base between Santa Monica and the Catalina Islands, which, by the way, they have done sonar mapping underneath the water, and they have seen it where we want to have it seen. We can also veil it so they can't see it. It's our prerogative. So fields of illusion can cloak the abodes and bases of the Brotherhood, whether they're celestial, extraterrestrial, or terrestrial, so that you have that protection that those who are not ready, that aren't of the proper vibration, can never ever see or enter or invade these sacred abodes. So ships have also been seen entering and exiting other bodies of water here in the United States, like the Pyramid Lake, like the Great Lakes, and elsewhere, like Lake Titicaca up in South America. All of these are connected to outposts of the Brotherhood, many of them Shambhala, but there's also other brotherhoods that these various bases are connected with. As I said before, the planetary and celestial hierarchies of light all work as one. Now, when it comes to what appears to be traveling, there's no years and years and lifetimes of distance between any planet, anywhere. The seeming distance can be traversed. There's no word I can use here because we don't actually travel, but we can access any place within minutes to only a few hours. Omnic Onyx said it only took a few hours for her to get here from Venus. So, in space, inertia can be nullified. But from where we work, normally, there is no time-space beyond a certain vibrational level. And so we can enter and exit time at will, and any place on the timeline at will. Now, there's no darkness in the higher realms at all. There's no darkness on our ships, or in our inner earth bases, or our submarine bases. The avatars and the great beings amongst us cast no shadows. I saw that myself, observing Sai Baba. I mean, he could cast a shadow if he wanted to, but I noticed that he didn't cast a shadow at a time of day when everyone else was. I just noticed that. So, higher dimensional beings also do not create other beings through sexual intercourse exactly as we do on Earth, but instead we co-join the rays of light of our consciousness and our heart, and then we co-create that third being. Generally, in an already mature state, with our children about 7 to 10 years of age, which will probably be the norm here as well in the future. But this particular type of conception was practiced in the ancient Vedic period, when they would have a yagna, a fire burning in a sacrificial pit. And the man and the woman would conjoin in meditation and birth a being out of the fire. So we're going back into a golden age, not back into a golden age, but we're accessing another golden age where this will become the norm. Now, before you all go, I like sex, this type of conjoining is so far superior that it's like a whole body orgasm through every cell of your being, and not just localized to one or two spots. So you'll have that to look forward to. In fact, in the movie some years ago, Cocoon, there is a scene where this girl from space is sharing herself with this man from Earth, and they're in a swimming pool. And she's got her arms raised out, and she's just radiating this light and this color through all of her chakras, and it's going all over, and it's bouncing through the water and off the walls, and it's going into this man, and he's just in ecstasy. That gives you a little idea of that particular message that movie was giving us. So I'm speaking here of the higher dimensional beings, not astral level beings, upon the various planets, as they live lives very, very similar to Earth. Earth is just a reflection of the astral plane. And as Earth moves into this next dimension, the Earth will be more astral as well as etheric, physical. So in the gradual ascension and return of the Earth to the original oneness, divine state of oneness with the divine, it first goes from the Earth to the astral. Astral, causal, causal, mental, mental, etheric, etheric, into the divine. So that is accomplished in a planet through 7 incarnations or 7 globes. And Earth is now in its 4.5 globe, getting ready to move into the 5th, which is the 5th world or the 5th dimension, however you want to language that. So each planet has beings at various levels of unfoldment. None as undeveloped as Earth, at least in our solar system. And some of the beings on some of the planets are ascended and immortalized. So immortality is actually the transubstantiation of the body from material density to increasingly rarefied energies until it immortalizes as pure light. And technically, that's attained gradually from the first through the sixth initiation, if you're reading the Alice Bailey books. So a sixth-degree initiate, many of them have immortalized their bodies, and others may or may not, depending on what they want to do and how they want to work with humanity. Some of them are living, as apparently Sai Baba is now, in their etheric physical bodies, or in a densified astral body, as it's sometimes called. So there's many choices that are open for a master. They're not stuck with only one. Now, within the astral plane of the planets, death is celebrated as a level of completion, and one is given the opportunity to reinvent oneself at a higher level of expression. It's not seen as a death, but as a celebration and a graduation to another state of expression. We do not plan any mass landings on your planet at present. Why? Because most people would die of fright and shock and heart attack if we would do that. And we simply will not cause harm or violate consciousness in any way, shape, or form. So we're gradually doing the show and tell, with the crop circles, with appearing, with we're not doing very many, I can't say that because I was beamed up, on the 28th? I was going to say we're not taking a lot of people up, but that's not true. We are. We are taking people up all the time. It's just not in where we did in the 50s, where we would land in the desert and invite you to come aboard and take you that way. Now it's kind of subtle. Usually when you go to sleep at night or you have a nap in the afternoon like that, or if you're practiced like I am, you can be taken at any time of the day or night, and your higher part of your body can go and your human self can still be doing what it does. So I've learned to be here and there at the same time, and it's getting so it's all now. It's all here and now. So unfortunately, extraterrestrials have been portrayed by Hollywood as grotesque monsters. But I have to tell you, there are no monsters anywhere but within your own imagination. There are no evil monsters waiting to have you for lunch. That may have entered in at some point in our distant past, but has long since been curtailed by the spiritual hierarchy. It's not permitted. So people that are having those kind of experiences are either having them in the astral levels, or they're part of them is traumatized and caught up in the past, where they're revisiting a past time cell long ago, and they keep projecting that again and again. Really, they're in need of healing. So there's no monsters out there waiting to abduct you and have you for lunch. Another thing is that everything is alive. The space suits, for example, that we use are melded like a second skin with the body of the person that's wearing it. They protect and conform to that person's memory and soul essence. And they cannot be invaded or nothing can penetrate those suits. They discovered that with Valiant Thor when he was a guest at our Pentagon for 3 years. And they took his space suit, which looked like spun gold. It was very, very light. But they tried to make a hole in it with a blowtorch. That didn't work. So they even tried a diamond drill. But nothing could breach that suit. The suit also is opened and closed with a wave of the hand. There's no zippers or anything like that. The shoes usually fit into the suit. The boots are part of the suit. The suits repair themselves because they're living organisms, and our spaceships also repair themselves because they are also living and by means of these microorganisms that can constitute the atoms of these ships, they are able to self-repair. None of our technology could ever be used to harm another being, because the moral codes and the universal laws and principles that are so much a part of our lives are imbued in our technology, so that if anyone would try, which, you know, none of us would, but if anyone would try to utilize any of our technology to harm another sentient life form, the technology itself would self-destruct. The spaceship would self-destruct. So it's impossible to use anything that we have to harm another being. All within the higher advanced civilizations abide by harmlessness to all sentient beings. And everything is sentient. Everything has life. There is nothing that's inert that has no life in it. Nothing. So we do have a sort of repelling force field that would deter an attack if such were to come, but this is incredibly rare, and if it would be utilized, it would cause no harm to any living being. There are a few beings that are not as highly evolved as others, but we haven't, as I've told you before, we haven't really had any warfare for millions of years in this particular solar system. Now, we've all learned long ago the lesson that all life is united as one interconnected organism. So to harm any life form is to attack and harm oneself. And this principle is taught to our young ones so that they are fully imbued with moral character and with a sense of harmlessness and a kinship with all life before they're ever allowed to use any of our advanced technology. The masters of this world and the celestial worlds, as well as your planetary logos, Sanat Kumara, will not allow a thermonuclear war to erupt. Will not allow it. So, even though it looks like a lot of saber rattling is going on right now, it will not be allowed to go very far. It will not be allowed to go far at all. So, the most important thing you can do is to be an ambassador of loving goodwill wherever you are and bring yourself into alignment with your soul so that you express more and more that divine principle that you embody and that is desiring to inhabit you fully and express through you the love of the one divine source. Let that be your model that you hold before your mind each day as you awaken. So, encourage others. Help them to see and understand what is happening on Earth in a positive light. Give hope. Provide a vision. And now enable people to feel inspired by interacting with you. And do not lend energy to beliefs, hearsay, prophecies of doom and gloom, conspiracy theories, media hype, anything that increases fear and a sense of hopelessness. That, more than anything else, will block people's communication with us and their ability to interact and receive us. Because, again, we will not come where we're going to engender fear. So let's go out chanting one nice long Anai Hu. Deep breath. We love you. God bless you. May the peace of the Supreme One be within and upon each one of you. Adonai.